This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk in London today. Sailing first became a sport in Holland in the 1600s. Then the concept spread to England and later the British American colonies. By the early 1800s, yacht clubs were created from a convivial desire to provide hospitality to guests around a bit of sport on the water. The Royal Thames Yacht Club issued their earliest notice of race in London's Public Advertiser on July 6, 1775, attracting boats to race from Westminster Bridge to the London Bridge to win a silver cup, the gift of His Royal Highness the Duke of Cumberland. On a completely separate track, in broadcasting history, it was 1897 when Marconi established a radio station on the Isle of Wight, his first wireless factory employing 60 people. It took more than 160 years before radio sports talk broadcasting began in the 1960s. Sports Byline's founder, Ron Barr, has his place in the U.S. Library of Congress in part because of the 4,000 hours of interviews he did beginning with Willie Mays, but also because in 1988, he was one of the first to form United States and international broadcast alliances that brought 24/7 sports talk to independent radio stations across the United States and Armed Forces Network to 200 countries around the world. In 2019, when Darren Peck, president of Sports Byline, signed a strategic alliance with Sailsport Talk, a DBA of my corporation, Private Client Sports, Inc., it brought together our two networks, and it has been really fun to see how this evolves on a typical Tuesday. For example, when I was flying to London before recording the spotlight, my ground team, Sailsport Talk in San Francisco, was conversing with SailGP's Team Australia and Team USA, who happened to be on planes to San Francisco at that moment. But SailGP's Team Canada had someone who had just arrived in San Francisco 9 hours before our broadcast. While our Sports Byline daytime team in San Francisco retired for sleep, I was awake in London finishing up the communications with SailGP's ground team in Italy for our Canadian guests to come into the studio in San Francisco. Sailsport Talk may have a small programming footprint in the 24/7 Sports Byline lineup, but the connections of our sport are as vast as the globe. The history of Sailsport extends back through centuries of relationships passed down through generations of organizers and Sailsport fans. Your interest in sports of all kinds and your willingness to listen to and talk about sports, and of course our sponsors, is what keeps us here year after year, providing you fun facts and meaningful conversation. In 168 countries, there are technicians and engineers who provide the infrastructure to keep our broadcasting to 100 million people in the world. You might be listening to our show on a mobile device, on the radio of a boat or a ship, or a plane, through a satellite radio, or many other means. There are more than 200 different manufacturers of devices that carry Sports Byline broadcasting content. This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk with a thank you from London to San Francisco and from there around the globe.
All right, welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. The unmistakable dulcet tones of Chris Cross means that it is time for another SailsportTalk.com segment. It is 9:40 on a Tuesdays when we do it, and we're quite happy to have once again Patty Mangan in studio. How are you doing, Patty?
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, and also you can see on the Twitch.tv cameras, we also have the program director of We Can Foil, Augustine Ferrario. First of all, great name, but you're not from Italy, you're from here.
No, I'm actually from Argentina.
Oh, Argentina. See, yes. The Argentines, they have all the Italian names.
Yeah, we do have quite the
like
the Italian
Diego, background. Armando, Maradona.
Exactly.
Right? So what part of Argentina are you from?
Buenos Aires.
Oh, are you a fan of the of Boca Juniors? Or
actually, River Plate. That was my my team growing up.
Sure. Yeah. Got the sash and everything.
Exactly. You know, if you're born in Argentina, you know, they give you your ID and then you get assigned you a football team.
Did you ever, though, speak of Boca, did you ever go to the Bombonera, the chocolate box?
Yes.
Very good. There. All right, we're just going to talk soccer for the next 45 minutes. Now, so Augustine, tell us a little bit more of We Can Foil. We throw in can because we're talking Canada here, right?
Yes. So We Can Foil is the legacy program of the Canada LGP team. And that's also in partnership with RBR, which is a ocean tech company. And we are basically an organization that our main mission is to get more people in sailing through foiling in Canada. And also, as well, really trying to develop the next generation of the professional sailors in Canada.
Very cool. Patty?
I was in Halifax. He's from Halifax right now. And I was going up on a cruise up there, and I could not find a yacht club for nothing. It was like the season had shut down.
What? When about was that then?
October. I was there in like 15th of October, so.
Yeah, it gets very cold there. Most sailing programs shut down after the summer. But, you know, we keep sailing, you know, from the competitive aspect. We keep sailing, and some really keen sailors keep sailing all the way till December.
Yeah. No, I'll know better.
We don't have year-round sailing up there. That's unfortunate.
Nova Scotia or New Scotland and Halifax, they have, what is that on top of the hill, that big fortress, like a star? What is that called?
Citadel.
The Citadel. Yes.
Yeah, and that's a refuge of the Revolutionary War then?
Yeah, yeah. I actually live 2 blocks away from there.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I also know that there were a lot of Americans that when they were loyalists, they wanted to stay, that they didn't like the revolution, that a lot of them went to Halifax. Oh. Yeah. No one cares about that. All right, let's go back to how you got your start in this sporting world.
Well, basically, I grew up sailing as a kid, and I came from a sailing family. Mom and dad met sailing, so... You know, as soon as I was able to get into the sailing program as a junior, I was like, okay, let's get on it. And believe it or not, I didn't like it. Mm. I didn't like the environment, didn't get into it. And then just by chance, by a friend, at the age of 9, I got back into it again, just through a different context, different coaches, different environment. And I fell in love with it and never left it. And I guess that's how somehow it got stuck with me, that coaches make a difference, and somehow I ended up becoming a sailing coach.
When did you realize that you're not just one of the guys out there, that you actually had some real, like, world-class skill?
Oh, well, I guess I did my first world championship at the age of 14, I think.
Oh, wow.
So I guess at that time, people around me were telling me, yeah, you know how to sail. For your age, and I guess one thing led to another, and I always kept going, and I still love racing and sailing, absolutely.
Got to ask how you went from Buenos Aires to Halifax, Nova Scotia.
That's a great question. That was many, many years ago. It was like 14 years ago, basically 15 years ago. It was just by chance. I just got a job offer from there, and I thought, you know what, I'll give it a try, maybe for a year and for a season. And I just fall in love with it, the sailing community, the sailing culture in Canada, and the sailing community in Halifax. Fell in love with it.
And the people of Halifax.
Oh, yeah. The people of Halifax are amazing.
Yeah.
And fell in love with it, and kept doing it. And then I just got really invested into developing the sailing culture in Canada.
Do you have a rivalry with the PEI people or the Newfies?
No, but not really. But there, you know, it's just that area in Canada, just the Maritimes, it's just a unique aspect. It has a unique taste to it, for sure.
So for this season 3 of SailGP, have you been traveling the entire time to every location?
No, I was out in at the Chicago event last June. Mm. I think that was the second event of this season 3. And I was helping there, coaching the Inspire program, which is basically the junior program for SailGP. Now I'm back here in San Francisco for the grand finale. So yeah, it's been.
Wow.
But I've always followed every single event. I'm a big fan of SailGP for sure.
Couple more questions for Augustine Ferrario. We have Patty Mangan with us in studio as well. Rick Tittle with you for SailSportTalk.com and Sports Byline. Let's talk about the hundreds and hundreds of young people that you have introduced to this, because, of course, we always have sort of the feeling, the stereotype that sailing is just for the rich and the privileged.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the stereotype that all of us in the sailing community, we got to work towards really bringing it down and try to make sailing more accessible, for sure. So, yeah, Weekend Foil last year got over 500 sailors across Canada just to get it, to try foiling. And I think that was a huge accomplishment. A lot of people a lot of people involved made it happen across the whole country. And that is only has made us stronger going into our second year this year, where we have even bigger goals as well. We're not only getting a lot of people foiling, but we're also focusing on developing coaches and developing more coaches so that, you know, they can actually spread more the culture of our sport.
Now, Team Canada is being hosted by South Beach Yacht Club, and there are 9 teams in SailGP, and they all got adopted by a different yacht club here in the Bay Area. And I'm curious if that happened in Chicago.
Yes, at every event, there's different yacht clubs that get adopted by each of the teams, mm-hmm. and they get like a little tour of their base, and they get explained a little bit how this flying 50-foot catamarans work, and really it's all about inspiring the next generation of sailors.
Mm-hmm. So, what's been going on with your youth
in Canada?
For
Weekend Foil?
Yeah.
So we actually have 3 Weekend Foil sailors here that are getting ready for the final this weekend in San Francisco, and we also have 3 other young Canadian sailors that are involved in different internships, one with the team and mm-hmm. 2 through the SailGP organization, which is we're very excited about that. And we're looking forward to try to keep increasing and improving these opportunities for the upcoming sailors.
Tell us a little bit about the different types of crafts, from the WASPs to the NSPs.
So, yes. So, basically, Weekend Foil, we try to aim to develop foiling mainly in the youth and for everybody in this smaller craft called the WASP, which is a single-handed foiling dinghy, which is basically like a laser, which is a very popular boat, but that foils, right? And, of course, 50 years more younger, I would say, in design. And the NSPs are basically wing foils, which I'm a strong believer it's a big future of how we make foiling and sailing more accessible mm-hmm. to everybody around, just because the equipment is very accessible and it's just very durable and it's just very fun. You get on it and you start having fun right away.
Very cool. So where do we stand now with Canada and SailGP? Are they formidable or are they rebuilding?
Well,
as far as the team goes,
the team is actually in 6th place right now, and this is actually the first season for our team. And I think for a team that is just very new to the league, you know, we were actually having breakfast this morning among some team members and one of the owners of the team, and we were actually saying it's amazing that only just a year ago it was the first time the team just got on the water, and it's impressive everything the team has accomplished just in one season. You know, they actually just won the last event in New mm-hmm. Zealand in Christchurch,
cool.
which was our first win. It's very impressive to have a first win on a first season.
To beat New Zealand on their turf.
Oof, yes. Wow. That was, yes. I bet we didn't make a lot of Kiwi fans there for sure.
Let me ask you this. You're walking down the street, and on one side you see Sergio Aguero, and on the other side you have Gabriela Batistuta. Do you see Sergio, or do you go to Batigol?
Batigol, hands down.
That's a little Fiorentina reference for you there, Patty.
Okay.
One more question for him before we let him go.
Well, what's happening this weekend that the public cannot miss?
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of action by the ocean today. Everybody should try to get on the water, get to see this foiling catamarans, which is going to be a great show. And also make sure you don't miss all the little WASP, you know, the little dinghies that you'll see flying around. These are all young sailors, you know, kids in the age of, you know, 15 to 19 that are really inspiring to be the next generation of this, you know, professional teams.
What does, I know WASP is WASZP. Does that stand for something?
I think it was just the name that they put to the boat to make it look like a wasp.
You know? Wasp.
Exactly. You know, like a flying, you know, it's like a flying little insect, right?
So before we let you go, how do we find out more about Weekend Foil?
You can go to weekendfoil.org, and you can also find us through our team, the Canada SailGP team.
There he is, Agustin Ferrario, the program director for We Can Foil, and Patty Mangan from SalesportsTalk.com. Thanks both for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right,
guys.
I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come on back on Sports Byline.